Blog Talk Radio.
We are the You Are Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport, to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good afternoon, high school tennis fans. This is Coach Denise bringing you the FHS-TCA perspective on high school tennis. And we're here in Hilton Head, South Carolina today. It's a little chilly, but the PTR symposium has been fantastic. Welcome to the UR Tennis Network, where you'll find all your tennis news. Hopefully you had a chance to listen to American Tennis yesterday with Coach Chuck Reese. Very interesting show. Very interesting question he had, making championships or making a living. And, of course, following that show, you have our founder, the American College Experience, but our founder, Jason Haynes. And you can always listen to Parent and Aces with Lisa Stone or any of the tennis information that you'll find on the network. Hopefully you're listening, hopefully you're spreading the word, and hopefully I know we're going to have an outstanding show today because I know our guest for quite a few years, and before I go into that, I just want to mention that next week we have Scott Williams as our guest, the founder of Matchpoint Ministries, also on our board. He's the treasurer of the FHS-TCA, and I look forward to that show, too. It's been an inspiring day today at the PTR when you have a chance to listen to Dr. Jack Lobo and Dr. Jim Lear in the same day. What a day. And then our guest, I think you're going to see that when you hear him, that he is what they are talking about. And last night at the PTR Symposium, honoring Billie Jean King, my wife knows that I have a love affair with that lady for a lot of years. It's not only what she's done for women tennis, but what she's done for men tennis. Before I get to our guests, I would like to remind you that the Florida high school season is starting, and it is now time to be thinking about honoring our high school seniors here. Wilson Sports just got through in December and honoring our Coach of the Years. They've been a sponsor with our high school All-Star Tournament. This will be the fifth year we'll be having the All-Star Tournament in Winter Park, Florida, a beautiful tennis facility. And, of course, Wilson will again be a big part of that, and they will be presenting goodie bags to all the players and coaches that are there, and naturally we'll be using the Wilson tennis ball. Dean Street Insurance and Heritage Insurance that came in last year with the All-Star a tournament. We hope they're there to help support our seniors. We want to send them off to college with fond memories, and the tournament is not just a recognition of their all-star their high school careers, but also it's a fun event that we look forward to doing each year. And Team Connection Tennis, our all-stars and our coaches will look great again, because Team Connection will be dressing them just like they're the courtier for the FHSTCA in our clothing. They're also the people that provide free uniforms every year to one high school team in Florida. If you go to our website, www.fhstca.org, and go to resource page, you will find them on there, and you can see how your school can be involved in our contest to get free uniforms. Florida Tennis Magazine's been a supporter of high school tennis, and not just in Florida, but noticed in the last issue, they came out with a page, High School Tennis Rewind News, the new issue that just came out this week. And, of course, we have on our website not just my articles, but the copy of Florida Tennis has disappeared from the club. You can always go to our website and read the current issue there. And you will find information there on from Oregon and California and Texas, and of course what our guest that we'll have today, Scott Henry, providing information from the Missouri Valley. You also see on this issue information from Illinois, and I think I did mention North Carolina and Oregon. And if you're listening from another area, I know we've have listeners from throughout the country now, which I do appreciate. I do appreciate the college coaches listening. And you college coaches, if you're if you're talking to a high school coach, let them know to give me that information of what's going on in their state, and we'll make sure it's shared throughout the state. I talked about the resource page. Very important to go to the resource page. You go to the Human Kinetics there, and you'll see the Coach Education Center. And there you'll find you'll be able to further your education there. And, of course, we partnered with them for the FHSTCA Tennis Team Coach Certification Program, which can become any organization program, instead of being the FHSTCA, for instance, it could be the Kansas or it could be the Texas, as long as it's a state organization. You also find where you'll find discounts on there. For instance, Technitennis, which is a system you'll be hearing a lot more about, teaching system. Everybody learns in different ways. The videos on there are probably one of the biggest video libraries. You've seen them on the Tennis Network. You get a 10% discount off of from our site. The Billie Jean Eye Coach, they're here at the PTR convention. Very popular. A lot of people around their booth. Selling a lot of units at $190, worth every penny of it for an assistant coach. Of course, you could buy it on our site for $160. The Total Serve, a great device for teaching the serve, especially high school tennis. You could view the video on our resource page there. And if you order it through the our resource page, you'll find a 25% discount there too. So like I said, stay tuned to what we're doing. Stay tuned to the website. but also get your parents and players involved with the website, because that's why Dean Street Insurance gives out the Community Service Award every year in the state, because no high school program stands on its own. No matter how great a coach, or Coach Troy Skyinger, who we'll have on our show in a minute, needs not only an athletic director, but needs the community to have a good program that's there year after year after year. And if you don't have a Dean Street in your community, go to www.deanstreetinsurance. Let me see if I can get Scott on the network right now. Scott, are you there? Scott, are you there today? Let me be talking, telling you a little bit about Scott while I'm waiting for him to come back. Scott and I go way back, actually. Scott, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Scott. Thank you for being with us today. I was just going to tell the folks how we go way back to the World Scholar Athlete Games at the University of Rhode Island, where we shared our expertise with others. And Scott's been doing that for a long time. He's not just an educator, a coach, an elite U.S. PTA tennis pro, but interest in with today listening to Dr. Jack Gropo talking about, given and that the people, the busiest people find time to give. And Scott's one of those people. He was joined us in 2013 in Florida, came out, and in 2014 presented for our certification program, Nine Strokes Every High School Tennis Coaches Should Be Talking About. Scott, thank you for coming to the show.
My pleasure, John. I always look forward to talking with you.
And I look forward to talking to you. And it seems like it's an important time right now, because we've some of the things coming up today. I know Dr. Lear's presentation, he talked about the problem of college teaching and college coaches. I call them and say, what do? Do I get out of this here profession? How do I handle when college coaches are telling kids to go stand behind the person if they miss their first serve, to start yelling out, I hear a second serve coming. Hopefully this isn't coming from high school. Maybe you could talk a little bit about high school tennis and how you build a program, what you see in that, and how – and if you're seeing a lot of it, what do we do to prevent it?
Well, I tell you what, I was real privileged. I've been real privileged to see what I consider the best high school coach I've ever seen or worked for. And that was my father, Chuck Kingy, who's in the Illinois Tennis Coaches Hall of Fame. He was a 50-year high school coach in three states, primarily in suburban Chicago. But he was the most innovative and creative tennis coach I ever saw, the most passionate one for his players. And he really taught me how to build a program from the ground up. One of the things that I've copied from him is you got to go down, if you're going to build a program, you got to go down into the elementary level and the middle school level and create some positive feelings about tennis, do some free tennis clinics for the elementary teacher, the middle school teacher. You got to create some excitement for the game, because like any other sport, tennis is a numbers game. The more you have involved in the game of tennis, particularly at a young age, the more better players you're going to develop in the long run. And so as an elementary PE teacher, I've always taught tennis two times a year, once in the fall, once in the spring. And I always did that to create that excitement about tennis. I remember as a kid, when I grew up in the elementary and then in the high school or the middle school, my dad would always take us to the high school basketball games or the high school tennis matches. And we'd always look at the high school players as kind of our heroes. They were the big kids. They were the most talented kids. And so we always looked up to them. And if you can create that in your tennis program by going down to the lower levels, create excitement about the sport, bring your high school players. I've done that before. Bring your high school players with you to do a free clinic after school. You can put up some nets. You can put up a yellow tape across two chairs. Create some excitement and some introduction to tennis using your high school players and your excitement for the game to kind of grow that game. I think that's a critical step to creating a long-lasting tennis program. One of the other coaches here in Kansas that I saw do that was a guy by the name of J.C. Lauterbach. J.C. was a kind of a tennis icon, a sports icon here in Kansas. He's now probably in his upper 70s. But he was from a little town in south of Wichita called Ark City, Kansas. And he was an all-around athlete. He loved tennis. And when his boys were to that elementary school age, he started teaching them tennis, and they got really good at it. And he got to the point, this town that he's from, Ark City, is probably, at the time, was maybe 15,000 people, maybe less. But he bought an old warehouse and put two tennis courts inside, and he had one of the only indoor tennis facilities that any small town in Kansas had. And from there, he trained his two boys and they ended up being great tennis players. Both, one played for Wichita State, was the number one player there, and one played for Oklahoma State. And you may have recognized the last name Lauterbach, because both of them are in the college coaching circuit. Brad Lauterbach was at Illinois. Now he's at Wichita State back at his alma mater coaching. And Jay Lauterbach is the women's coach at Notre Dame. So their father was a perfect example of instilling some excitement about the game of tennis at a young age in his own kids and in the town. Got all the elementary school kids together, did free clinics in the summertime, and really turned Ark City. Ark City is kind of a famous small town now in Kansas, for turning out some great, great tennis players, just because it's built a tradition over the last 20, 30 years of producing some great champions.
Well, thank God we have people like that. And that is one of the things that Dr. Lehr was talking about today, is that tennis is so important. He believes it's singly the most important sport. So not that all sports aren't important, but in preparing people for the future, and don't be afraid or ashamed to say you're a tennis coach, because it's probably the greatest profession. Now, and I think our challenge is how do we keep getting people in? I mean, you were blessed to have a father that influenced you some, and I thank you for going out and spreading your knowledge and coming all the way to Florida, and I know you go other places, but it's important that you sit there and go to senior coaches. When I say senior, not as old as me, but like Scott, and find out what they have to offer you. Let me ask you a question. Before I do want to get back into that cheating, because it's been brought up on my radio show by college coaches a couple of times, and today having Jim Laird talk about it, and having a high school coach explain that he wanted to bring his teams to college. So they can look up to those people and see experience if they have a chance to go to that next level. And as you know, and you probably, and I don't want to put you in a bad state, but I think you recommend that as much as I do. It was very disturbing to hear come back and say, Coach, did you see all the cheating that was going on? Do you see this as the biggest problem as it is or no?
Are you talking about high school or college tennis?
Well, you know, let's take the either one.
Okay. As far as high school tennis goes, I'll address that first point. I think it's a great, great idea that high school coaches either encourage or take their kids to go see a college match or even a pro match for that matter, just to see what the next level looks like. It's funny that you brought that up because one of the girls that I'm working with, I worked with in the last 2 years, talked to her father, and I said, hey, there's a couple college matches in Kansas City. She's going to be a freshman in high school. If she wants to play college tennis, she's got to go see that next level. That'll inspire her to either work harder or get to a certain level. And she'll have her own assessment of, can I play with that team right now? Am I good enough to play on that team right now? Do I need to work harder? So I think that's always a great benefit to players, parents, and coaches to encourage your kids to see college matches. Now, as far as cheating goes, that's been a problem in our sport for a long, long time. And we typically address it with an honor system or an honor code. When my son was playing juniors, you know, kids did not want to. There was cheating going on in all levels. But when my son was playing juniors, the Missouri Valley here, you know, like most sections, took a very low opinion of anybody who would even cheat or, you know, had the reputation cheating. So the kids didn't want to have that reputation. As they got older, 16, 17, 18 years old, they realized, you know, my reputation is worth something. I don't want to be known as a cheater. So that helped quite a bit. I think the USTA bringing more referees into tournaments more now than they ever have in the past has helped that. But as far as the college level, yeah, there's still cheating going on. And at the lower college levels, Division II, NAIA, Division III, there aren't always referees there. Now, Division I requires that they have referees there, and that solves most of the problems. But there's still cheating going on, and kids have to learn how to deal with that. You know, one of the great coaches that I got a chance to see said, well, if you're concerned about being cheated, don't hit the lines. Hit it inside the lines. I mean, that's a simplified answer to that. But as coaches, we got to train kids how to deal with difficulties. And you touched on it a little bit earlier. Our job is not only to make them better tennis players, but also to make them better people and learn how to handle the difficulties in life that will arise in business, in their personal life, you know. And I think tennis and good tennis coaches know how to do that in general, how to make those kids self-sufficient, resilient when things don't go their way. You know, I think that's a real important life lesson. Now, back to the college question, I mean, the NCAA, the Division I, put in a rule, I think it was about 10, 15 years ago, where they would play the less. And at first I didn't understand that, but there were so many incidences of kids getting aced and then calling the less to get out of losing that point. Well, that was a change that the NCAA put in at the Division I level. I'd like to almost see that instilled at the lower levels as well. And I'm a pretty purist as far as tennis rules and tennis tradition. I don't like to see a lot of things changed. But when cheating gets to a point where it determines matches, conference championships, who goes to nationals, who doesn't go to nationals, or even a possible national championship, we got to do something to address it. And in that regard, as far as the let rule, you know, I think the NCAA took a note from all the college coaches that were conferencing and talking about it, and they made a good rule change in that regard.
I agree. I think that was a good rule change, and I agree the easiest thing, keep them inside the line, but I know we always looked at the tennis court. I one time when I worked with my son, We had signed on our teaching course that this was a crisis management thing. And I think that's where tennis is a journey that gets you prepared for the road you're going to face later on in life, because you're celebrating at points of disappointments, and there's other emotions that you're going to use the rest of your life. And life is sometimes the road has a lot of hardships on it, a lot of joys eventually, but a lot of hardships. And there's just no better way than tennis to help you on that journey, I think. Speaking of the journey and getting ready for it, go ahead.
I agree. I don't think there's any other sport that requires the physical demands and the mental demands that tennis does on a one-on-one situation. When you're out on the tennis court there, you're all by yourself. You got to resolve your own issues. You got to know how to be positive with yourself to overcome difficulties, because I think the kids that learn how to do that or are coached on how to do that really persevere later on in life.
Yeah, I agree. Tennis is just so, it's a team sport at the college and high school, but it is an individual sport. And as a team sport, as you know, my first coaching in love was basketball. And basketball has great athletes. I still love watching college basketball. But as a basketball coach, if I saw one of my players struggling, I could put somebody in and tell them what I want to do and tell the person coming out to sit next to me for a couple minutes and watch this and watch that. Or if I saw emotionally that I thought there was going to be a breakdown, I could pull them out, or I could get the technical foul myself rather than give it to them. And tennis, you can't do any of that. Once they're out there, they're it.
Yeah, well, I like the rule change that we got here in Kansas about 10 years ago, where they have allowed the high school coaches to talk to their players on the changeovers. So they're allowed, the changeover time, minute and a half, to give them some advice or calm their player down. Yeah, I don't know any other sport that has in the past put players out and forced them to play without any coaching during the match or during the game, other than tennis. Even in golf, you have a caddy that can give you some coaching. But I like the rule change because I think coaches can offer a lot, and maybe not even in strategies and tactics, but also in the ability to keep emotions in check and under control at a critical time. So I like that rule change Kansas did. What do they do in Florida? Do they allow coaching on the changeovers in Florida?
Yes, we can. We can, as long as we don't interrupt play, you can go not only in between changeovers, but any time as long as you don't interrupt play and you're not on the court. So I agree. I think that's a good rule. Let me ask you a question. Talk a little bit about, building your lineup and the team atmosphere. Sometimes the kids feel, why is this person there and why that person? How do you address that? You're trying to build a team atmosphere, but yet it's an individual sport, and you have to make a lineup and where they're going to play. Can you talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen it done a lot of different ways. Some coaches do it differently than I do, but personally, the way I've done it, I've been pretty satisfied with, and I think the players accept it pretty well. Tennis is an individual sport, even though we're playing on a team in high school and college. But it's one of those sports where it's pretty definitive. You're either better than somebody or you don't, based on the results. Swimming's like that. You're either faster than somebody. Track's like that. Wrestling, either you beat somebody in wrestling or not. All those individual sports are pretty definitive about who's better or who's not. Singles lineup wise, so that's pretty easy to do. We do a lot of challenge matches at the beginning of the season, and I do one set challenge matches. When you have 30, possibly 40 kids, and every kid wants to play five times, you're talking about 200 matches there. You're going to either waste all your practice time, or you're not going to be able to get them in. So we do three to four one set matches, and I just tell them consider it like a third set. And I kind of know my lineup from the previous year, but even if you don't, you can set up a tournament format where you can play it out. And based on those results, I determine a lineup. Now, what happens oftentimes is the two kids will play a close match. And it'll either be a tiebreaker, and the loser ultimately wants to challenge again tomorrow. So I always have a one-week rule. You can't challenge a kid you lost to within a week. You got to wait 1 week before you challenge again. And so I try to do a good, week's worth of or 10 days of challenge matches with multiple people. So the kids, without me even, setting a lineup, they pretty much know where they rank as far as the singles lineup. And then I stop challenge matches for about the first month. Because what I've found over the years is if you continue to challenge week after week after week, then you create something that I call is team anxiety. If you're always worried about you're going to lose your spot this week if you're the number six man, am I going to lose to the seventh and eighth? Creates a lot of anxiety, particularly on those lower varsity players who may be bumped out by a upper JV player. And they're not focused on trying to get better or improve their game. They're focused on, well, I can't lose. And you don't want a kid going through a whole high school season worrying about losing their spot on the team. So I tell them in advance at my parents' meeting, a couple weeks before the season, here's how we do it. We do challenge matches in the middle. I'm going to take off for about a month. We'll just do matches and practice. And about mid-season, we'll do some strategic challenge matches again. Because I know through the course of the season, some kids are going to get dramatically better. They may not have started out very strong at the beginning of the season. Or maybe they were in basketball or wrestling or another sport in the winter and haven't practiced all winter. I had a two-time state champion that was like that. I don't think you might meet stating his name, but his name was Bill Bush, played for me. And he was a tremendous basketball player, but he didn't pick up a racket over the wintertime because he was just so busy with after-school basketball and practice and games. And I always knew Bill would start out kind of rough because he'd have a difficult time transitioning. But I'd give him a month, and he was one of my top players. He ended up being a two-time state champion in Kansas in doubles. He was a tremendous athlete, had a big serve. He was a 6'4", basketball player. Big serve and great touch at the net when volleys. And a funny story about Bill is after his junior and senior year when he won two state championships, he was going to give up tennis. And I was trying to convince him to play college tennis. I said, Bill, you just go out for the team. Just keep up your game over the summertime. Go out for the team, and at least you can say you can give it a shot. Well, little did I realize that he was going to go to Baylor University in Waco, Texas.
You never know, do you?
Senior year in high school, after he graduated, he kept up his game, and he said, well, I'm going to try out for the team. I said, okay, Bill, call me and let me know how it goes. I get a call the first week of school in college, and Bill said, I played in the walk-on tournament. I said, well, how'd you do? He said, I beat two nationally ranked players, and I made the team.
Very good.
I said, fantastic,
very
Bill. Fantastic. Yeah. So, you to set a lineup, it's got to be based on challenge matches. You can't have too many through the course of the season, otherwise it creates team anxiety. You can always adjust your lineup mid-season or even at the end a little bit based on results. And I always keep immaculate records on those challenge matches because if a parent ever comes to me and says, well, my son said he won all seven of his challenge matches, I go back in my book and he only won three out of seven. I can show the parent right there, here's who he won, he beat, and here's who he lost to. That saves a lot of headaches for our high school coach.
Very good. You're bringing up records. It just brought me to a reminder when introducing you to the audience. I forgot to mention that you were the founder of the National High School Tennis Coaches Association. When I talk about records and everything and keeping stats, one of the thing that I've been so impressed with is your ranking of the top 25 high school tennis teams in the USA. Is that something you're going to continue to do?
Oh, yeah, we've got a lot of positive response for that. I did. I started that back in the 90s, and I used to host a national high school invitational here in Kansas City, and we had teams from California and Florida and Ohio state champs. I'd try to get all the state championship teams to come in, and we'd have 8-16 teams, and we'd play off. It was tremendous talent that were brought in from all over the country. And then from that, we kind of started our national rankings. We did it for several years for USA Today newspaper. And then, I got busy, kind of dropped that for about 10 years, but we brought it back again last year. And we had a lot of interest and a lot of excitement about that. The thing is with rankings, though, it's all subjective. And, of course, there are going to be one or two people saying, well, how come my team wasn't ranked? But I think as people understand how we do it, and they get their applications in on time, then we'll have a more accurate ranking. But I think it was pretty accurate because I have a lot of friends in high school coaching all over the country, and they give me their opinions. We actually have a committee of about 10 coaches all over the country that give their opinion on strengths of states and their state champions there, and the state associations do a pretty good job putting out information on as far as who is champions. So it really cuts down a lot on the research that I need to do to do such a ranking.
Well, you do Jordan, a great job with that, and I agree. I don't think there are too many complaints, but you'll never be able to please everybody, and those people that try to do it wind up never trying to attempt to do anything. And so we're grateful that you have done it. And I think the biggest thing I hear sometimes why this team was in, and somebody doesn't submit. We just read Coach of the Year, and I think Wilson did an outstanding job, with the four regions of our state. The FHSA had brought a couple people, so-and-so, and yes, outstanding coach. And when checking with the committee, did you consider so-and-so? We never got nobody nominated them. So
yeah.
I always tell people, if you're happy, if you're unhappy with your tennis coach, please don't interrupt practice or a match. But, contact the coach. They'll make time for you if they don't contact the athletic director. But if you're happy with the coach, for God's sakes, nominate the coach for the award. When you have a great organization like Wilson willing to give the awards out, let's make sure we know of them. So I thank you. I think it's a fantastic thing that you do, having the top 25 high school teams, and I look forward to next year, and I look forward to being any help I can. Let me go on to the next question, is because I've gotten beat up a lot, and I talked to a USTA representative just today on it. We have a Title IX and no cut. Do you run a no cut program?
No, I don't, and I know USC is pushing for that. I never have in the past, but every high school situation is different. Every state is different, and you and I talked about that a little bit earlier. It depends on every school situation. It depends on how many high school coaches you have. Many coaches here in Kansas, Missouri, the only coach, there's no assistant coach to help out with something like that. And then many high schools only have four courts here in Kansas. Some, we were lucky enough to have six at the high school I coached at. But every situation is different. And some of the high schools I coached at, tennis was a real popular sport. And with, six courts, we'd have maybe 60, 70 kids come out. There's no way, and me being the only coach, there's no way I could run a practice in two and a half hours with 60, 70 kids on six courts. It would be 10 per court. So, my take on that type of situation is you almost have to cut because You just don't have the facilities or coaches, run a bigger program. And my explanation to the parents, too, when they asked me about this cutting situation, whether I cut or not, is if your child's just coming out for tennis for the very first time or just wants to try it out, probably a high school program is not the best way to start. I encourage kids to, if they're really serious about playing high school tennis, start early, take a bunch of lessons. Even if you want to do it as a social situation and do it with your guy friends or girlfriends, that's fine. But high school sports, whether it's tennis, basketball, football, whatever, should be a level above just beginner. Trying to coach beginner players and players that have had years of training there and maybe sectionally ranked or nationally ranked, trying to coach to that variance of skill level is one of the great challenges for high school coaches. It's not that we don't want kids to come in. We want plenty of kids to come in and play. But if they're just doing it for the first time, there's plenty of opportunities around the tennis clubs and the parks and rec programs, or even hitting with their parents or their best friend to get started prior to coming to the high school tennis team or trying out. And one of the great stories I have in regard to this is I had a kid that I was coaching by the name of Cameron Ferguson, fantastic kid. He went on to USC and was not a tennis player there, but he was a music major at USC and was a fantastic singer. But he came to me his freshman year and tried out for the team, never had a lesson, just liked the sport, hit a little bit with his mom and dad, but he just wasn't very good. And that, it was at that program where we had 60 kids come out, and I took 30 to be on the team. And I said, Cameron, if you're really serious about this, he said, yeah, coach, I'm serious. I want to play on the team. I said, if you're really serious about this, go take some tennis lessons this summer, take them through the wintertime, at one of the local clubs, and then come back and try out again. Well, this kid really took the message to heart, took a whole series of lessons for a whole year, came back, and I was just shocked at the improvement he made. He was serious about wanting to be on the high school team. And if you wouldn't be able to tell the difference in the kid unless you saw him, but he was so good his sophomore year, he ended up making the varsity from being cut as a freshman. His sophomore year, he ended up being a varsity and playing number six for me on the varsity level. And in his junior and senior, got letters and ended up being a state qualifier after that. But, there's an example. If a kid really wants something, they can work at it in a short period of time. They can work hard at it in a short period of time and be successful. So if kids are just coming out as an activity, is it an activity or is it an actual sport with team where you have competition? So in my mind, high school sports is just that. It's sports. It should be played at a higher level than a beginner level. If they want an activity, there's plenty of opportunities outside the high school to get that activity.
Well, I think excellent points. I know I got beat up on about 9 months ago or more when I wrote one of my articles in Florida Tennis. I asked that question, should high school tennis be an after-school activity or an after-school sport? And they're both important. You need after-school activities. They're an important part of it, but we all have our own biases, and my bias is to sport. I think high school sports are more important, and tennis is a high school sport. I think there's other problems that come up. I've been blessed to have multiple courts when I coach in high school and have people willing to sit down and work. So I ran a no-cut program before there was a no-cut program. And when the no-cut came along and I was recognized for having a no-cut program, a couple of things happened. Number one, you have to remind people that it's still competition. A lot of people think, like you said, it's an after-school activity. The second thing, I had an incident 7 or 8 years ago where the athletic director told me I had to cut boys because I had too many boys and there's Title IX. part of my conversation today with USTA member, this should be brought up tomorrow, but high school tennis, is, you know, you have to recognize that we do have a thing called Title IX, and boys shouldn't be punished either if, you know, with that. So there's a lot of different things, and I think the big thing you have to ask yourself, you know, are you running a high school after-school activity or an after-school sport? And then there's a lot of other questions that come in there as far as the coaching. Is the principal and the board of education, athletic director, are they hiring a high school somebody to coach tennis, or are they hiring somebody to supervise to make sure nobody gets in trouble? And that becomes a question that we all have to start addressing, I think.
Yeah. No, I agree. If they want an activity, then they don't need a high school, coach. And it should be non-competitive. If they want a competitive team, they should hire a qualified high school coach and not a supervisor, or at least somebody who's willing to learn and learn how to coach. And because it is a competitive sport, when kids come out for tennis, it's not just hitting the ball back and forth. They're actually expected to compete and learn how to play the game correctly and have some success.
I love what Texas is doing in the spring. They're running like we do. The boys, the team, the girls team, they're out competing. And in the fall, they run a co-ed team, which is a team sport. So now they still compete. They hire a tennis coach. And I think that, addresses the team concept, because it is an important concept, being part of the team. I know as a tennis pro coming into coaching high school tennis, there's a big difference in being a tennis pro and being a high school coach. And fortunately, my background in coaching basketball helped me with that. But they're different. And I think what Texas is doing is something that we should consider. Yes, it is an additional cost. You do need to hire a coach if you're going to treat it as tennis. But you are getting more people involved that way. So hopefully we're going to be considering that. And I think the biggest thing is, if you're hiring a tennis coach, and you're going to pay more money sometimes. And to do that, then we have to make sure that we're doing a job as coaching associations and make sure we're certifying people that are capable of doing that. And that becomes another step. I look at, again, referring back to Texas, and they have a unique problem now on one of our shows a few months back, explaining there that they're losing coaches in the two-year program. Tennis coaches are going to coach high school because they can make more money coaching high school tennis than college tennis in some of those two-year programs. Now, we don't have that problem in Florida. The stipends we get for coaching tennis are not that great that we're getting. We're losing college coaches for that. I wish we had that problem.
Yeah, some of the high schools in Texas have a full-time position just for the tennis coach because it is fall and spring, and they might have some supervisory duties or some other smaller duties, but their full-time job is to be the tennis coach. And, Texas is a great state like Florida that really values their athletic activities and their sports there in their high schools and sees value in that. So they're doing a great job with hiring qualified coaches and paying them as such to attract those type of coaches.
Well, Scott, we've been we're running down on time. Is there anything you'd like to share with us? We've got about 5 minutes before I have to go into some business here. with some comments that you would like to make?
Yeah, first, you know, you touched on it earlier about, you know, how do we take this individual sport and turn it into a team sport? Because it's different. And all the kids that have been in my tennis academy, you know, I really try to play in high school tennis, because one of the problems we've had in the past in Kansas City is academy directors telling their kids they don't need to play high school tennis. It's going to ruin their game. They're not going to get good coaching. But they're totally missing the fact that it's a unique experience, because when these kids go to USGA tournaments, the only one that's cheering for them is maybe their mom or dad at a tournament, because they don't typically bring friends or peers to the tournament to cheer them on or watch them play. At a high school, it's completely different, because all the members of your team are wishing you well, cheering for you, hoping that that you help their team, you know, win the dual match, win the tournament, or win a championship of some sort. And if a coach can get the student body involved and bring several hundred people out to the tennis match, it's something that these kids will never experience at a USGA tournament. So, you know, turning that individual sport into a team sport is what really will attract all the kids to come out, even the better players of the sport. Jack Sock played at the high school I coached at, and he alone would attract, you know, several hundred people out to his matches, because he was the number one junior in the United States, and some arguably would say the number one junior in the world when he was 16, 17, 18 years old. And it really made a big difference when kids come out and support the team. A couple other things that the coaches can do to help support that is do an overnight travel. Kids love hanging out with each other. One of the great things about college tennis is the kids get to hang out together while they travel, you know, share stories, support each other, goof around as kids, and build camaraderie as a team, which typically doesn't happen in USGA junior season as it is. One of the great things my dad did for years, and one of the things I kind of tried to take up a couple of years in my coaching career, is he would rent a Winnebago, because he was a Chicago coach, a suburban Chicago coach. Their season would start in March, and it would be too cold, or they'd have snow literally on the courts, and they couldn't practice. And instead of fighting for gym time or having to pay expensive court time indoors, he rented a Winnebago, and he drove his varsity team down south to all over the country, Florida, Mississippi, Alabama, Texas, Arkansas, and they would practice 2 days a week and travel as a team. So it was really like a college team more than anything else. And then on the way, when they would take these trips, he would call up college coaches and try to get his high school players recruited. They would visit college campuses. He'd instill the fun and greatness of playing college tennis in them. And so, I mean, that was another way he took an individual sport and turned it into a team aspect, because all the kids built great camaraderie, you know, on those trips, and then subsequently supported each other. One of the worst things I see happening in high school tennis is when a coach lets a kid who's done playing walk away or go home. You know, this is supposed to be a team sport now when you enter high school tennis. We got to teach the kids to support each other, build camaraderie, have fun together, and build relationships, you know, toward a common goal of, you know, winning the match or winning the dual match or a conference championship or a state title. So, you know, there's lots of things we can do in that regard. I, on my Facebook page, the National High School Tennis Coaches Association, are going to put on, have been putting on weekly tips, such as we've talked about today, about building a program, turning an individual sport into a team sport. We're going to be talking about drills that we can do during the high school season, ways to run a practice, ways to run a lineup, as we discussed earlier. So all that will be on my Facebook page, National High School Tennis Coaches Association, over the next couple of months as the seasons progress. John, I just want to thank you again for letting me be on your show. I think what you're doing is fantastic, and I look forward to continuing our friendship.
Well, I look forward to it too. Amen to everything you said. I I was interested in today, Jim Lehrer's presentation was the role of kindness in coaching. And I said to myself, boy, just it's funny how the Almighty works. And here I have you as a guest on the show. And what you do is just, I'm sure you get the rewards out of it. We're all getting rewards, rather, but I'm sure you're getting the rewards too. And you know we're available. You know I will be gladly looking to share the information as you put it up because it is it's important. And I will just remind everybody, like Jim Lehrer did today, kindness does not mean weakness. If you've gone to Scott's, if you've seen his at one of his workshops, had the privilege to know him like I do. Very, very tough individual, can sit there and do things, looks for perfection, but does it in a way that the people know he cares. And that's what you have to do, is the people have to know that you care. So I thank you for that, Scott. And I do want to remind everybody that next week we have on our show Scott Williams. Hopefully, I know I did have a couple comments the last time we had him on the show that someone asked, is the show going to be religious? No, it isn't going to be about religion. Scott and I are not from the same religion, but I think the Almighty, if you're a good coach, you're looking to share where you get information, and we have a good source of information there. We start off March with a gentleman I was privileged to work with Michael Stutzke, athletic director of Sebastian River High School, also head of the athletic directors in Florida, has been kind enough to put a piece that we have a video on our website, why high school tennis is so important, why the importance of certification. So that should be an interesting conversation. And then following him on March 10th, we'll have Bobby Connected, the president of the Texas High School Coaches Association. So tell your friends, listen in, and please remember that following the FHSAA state championships, the following weekend is the FHSTCA High School, Florida High School Tennis All-Star. Nominate your senior for that event. We've had one school that for the 5 years has nominated every one of their seniors to the event. None of them have ever been chosen to go to the event, but they felt it important enough to recognize their senior. We want to recognize the seniors. We thank Wilson for being a major part of that and making sure that they have goodie bags and for the tournament. We thank them for sponsoring the All-Star, for sponsoring the Coach of the Years. And this coming year, they will not only be doing that, but we'll have two inductees into the FHSTCA Hall of Fame. I thank Team Connection for making sure that the players and the coaches are going to look good and with the uniforms. And Dean Street Insurance, who has been a main part of our programs, hopefully they'll bring Heritage Insurance along with them again this year. We look forward to that. And remember, you can read this issue on Florida Tennis. So if somebody is taking the issue from the club, you don't have to hire a private detective. Just go to our website and you can view it there. I remind you again, go and talk to your experienced coaches. You're not going to find people as qualified as Scott is, or that does as much as he does, but most of the good coaches are willing to share the information with others, just like Scott is. So please, if you need help, come to our site, go to your state organization, and we'll be glad to sit there and help you. And you can always go to www.fhstca.org, go to our blog, put your questions down there. You notice we have Leroy Cook, not only a certified trainer, but published numerous articles answering questions on injuries, and I'll still try to answer questions on tennis. Have a blessed week, and I look forward to talking with you next week.